Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We have been talking about the Bible, the nature, the power, the potential of the Bible. We have arrived at the doctrine of verbal plenary inspiration in our study of the text in 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." That is the nature of this book we call the Bible. It is the Word of God, the words given by God, and all of the 66 books of the Bible are the words of the living God. That's the nature of this book we call the Bible. But now we want to see something of the potential of this book in the last part of this text. And so we'll get to that as soon as I welcome you to this Friday, July 8, Beacon Broadcast, and express my deepest gratitude to those radio listeners whose financial gifts enable us to remain on this station. Well, the text goes on. It not only says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, but it also says, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, not only will this book make us wise unto salvation, but it will do much more beyond. In verse 15, the preceding text, the preceding verse, Paul said that the Scriptures had made Timothy wise unto salvation. He says, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." It may not have been exactly accurate for me to say that in addition to making you wise unto salvation, it will also do more, because I think the way Paul is using the word salvation here, he means the process of salvation, including sanctification, which goes on throughout our entire lifetime until we are fully and finally redeemed forever with the Lord in glory with our resurrection bodies. So, to Paul, salvation was the whole process. To Paul, salvation was past, present, and future. And we normally think of it only in terms of the past. When we use the word salvation, we generally mean justification, or regeneration, or a combination of the two. Regeneration is the theological term for the new birth. And the question is, have you been born again? That's salvation past, for those who are now Christians, of course. It's salvation future for those who need to come to Christ. But the question is, have you been born again? And sometimes we'll go further and say, when were you born again? Tell me about your new birth experience. Tell me about the circumstances that God used in your life to bring you to a realization of your need of Christ, your need of cleansing from sin, and brought you to embrace Christ and Christ alone for salvation. Tell me about the time God, by His Spirit, brought you to Christ and changed your life. Tell me about your new birth. Have you been born again? Are you a born-again Christian? And when we talk that way, we're talking about salvation in the past. But Paul thinks often in terms of present and even future salvation. And do you see it here in verse 15? When he says to Timothy, and that from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Who's he writing to? Timothy. Who's Timothy? A Christian. How long has Timothy been saved? A good many years. What is Timothy doing now? Preaching. Who is Timothy again? He is Paul's most trusted associate in the gospel, the one that he can count on to be loyal to Christ and loyal to Paul, loyal to Scripture, and to faithfully carry out any assignment that Paul gives to him. Is there any question in Paul's mind that Timothy has been born again? None. And yet he says to Timothy, the Scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation. That sounds like salvation future. He's saying the Scriptures are able to take you all the way safely home to that future and final day of salvation. And the Scriptures are able to do that. The Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. Now some will say, well, why are you talking that way? If Timothy has already been born again, he is guaranteed that he's going to heaven. He is guaranteed future salvation. Why does he talk this way? Indeed, why does Paul talk this way? Why don't we talk this way? Why do we think this is an inappropriate way to talk about salvation in the future for Timothy and put an emphasis upon his reception of God's word presently in order to make him wise for salvation future, he who has already been born again? Why did Paul think that was appropriate and we don't? And if there is this difference between the way Paul thought about it and the way we think about it, who do you suppose is most likely to be correct? I side with Paul. And so verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it sounds like in the first place, Paul is saying, this inspired Scripture is able to provide you, Timothy, with the things which will make you wise unto salvation, namely, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. This is an ongoing process, Timothy. But the next verse points us in a different direction. It indicates that the Scriptures do these things, add these things, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, in order to make Timothy equipped for service, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So both ideas are expressed here when you take it all in context, namely that the Scriptures are what take a child of God all the way to salvation, as well as the same Scriptures equip the child of God to serve the Lord while he's here upon the earth. And so the Scriptures have tremendous potential. They have the potential to save souls. They have the potential to equip saints. So yes, not only will this book make you wise unto salvation, verse 15, but it will also equip you to serve the Lord, verse 16 and 17. And how will it do that? Well, first of all, by teaching you doctrine. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? Teaching. What is doctrine? Doctrine is whatever the Bible teaches. What is doctrine? Doctrine are those truths that constitute the Christian faith. Doctrine is all of the things that the Bible reveals as the will of God for God's people, what we are to know, to believe, and to practice. Sometimes we make a big distinction between doctrine and application. This is the doctrinal section of the book. This is the practical section of the book. Well, I use that language too, so I'm not here to fuss about it. But I think we need to be careful that we don't overemphasize that concept so that we make such a big dichotomy between doctrine and practice that the concept is left, the impression is left, that doctrine is not practical, but of course it is. Nothing is more practical than doctrine. The more you understand doctrine, the better you are able to apply God's word to your life, the better you are able to live for the Lord. A lot of Christians are struggling in many areas because they are weak in doctrinal understanding. A lot of Christians struggle with assurance of salvation. And what is that? But it's a lack of clear doctrinal teaching and apprehension. If you understood the scriptures more clearly and allowed the doctrine of God's word to grip your heart more firmly, you would, no doubt, stop struggling with assurance of salvation. But I know some of you do, because some of you have written to me to tell me about your struggles. I know that some of you do. But there's nothing more practical than doctrine. The more you understand the teaching of God's word, the better you will be able to serve the Lord upon the earth. It's hard to be a very effective servant of Christ if you lack assurance of salvation. Is it possible to lack assurance and to be truly saved? Yes. Is it possible to lack assurance of salvation and zealously, joyfully, effectively serve the Lord and give the gospel to others? Not really. If you're not sure that you are a child of God, then it's pretty hard for you to commend the gospel to others, the gospel that you're not sure whether it saved your soul or not. You're not sure whether believing it really assures a person of cleansing from sin and eternal life or not, because it doesn't seem to have had that certain effect in your life. It'll be a great hindrance. That's why it's important to come to a good Bible-based assurance of salvation, not a psychologically induced assurance of salvation, not a man-given assurance of salvation, but a Bible-based assurance of salvation, and you can have that. The Bible holds that out for you. These things we have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, said John in 1 John 5:13, and may believe on the name of the Son of God. It is possible to know. It is possible to have assurance, and therefore we ought to know. We ought to have assurance. We can have it. We should have it. What keeps you from having it? It could be several things, but a weak understanding of doctrine is often the reason, and you need to study the scriptures. They're good for doctrine. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.